Thank you. Everything works, but it works a lot different than it used to. It's a joy to welcome you to today, and it's always a pleasure to, an honor to be able to fill the pulpit for Brother Jeremy. And he's on vacation. We pray that he have a good vacation. Thankful for all of you. Good to see Chelsea back. She's been in the hospital. I know a number of you have been praying for Irvin Kelso, and he's been down almost 2 months with a problem with it, and we've been praying for him, and he got a good report from the doctor. The blood clot is just about all gone, so we're thankful for answered prayer. God hears and answers prayer. I'd like to turn your attention to a number of scriptures today, and we'll be thinking about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's their blood physically, which we'll read about in Leviticus 17, verse 10, 11, and 14. Twice it says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And so anytime it's repeated in the Word of God, we know that it's true and it's important. And so the life of the flesh is in the blood. The Father gives the principle of life. And there is all the blood is made in the baby and does not come from the mother. And so we will think about some things about the blood. Might tell you that there are about 5 quarts of blood in the human body, and this is pumped through the system all over to every single cell every 27 seconds. So your heart has been beaten for years, night and day, and you don't even think about it, but it's feeding every single cell. And if it does not get fed, it dies. As a matter of fact, understand that what I've heard or studied in school anyway, that every 7 years you get a whole new body. Every single cell is replaced every 7 years. So some of you have been getting a new body for a number of years. That's a physical life, spiritual life, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And we have a new person, the Holy Spirit, who is living within our bodies. I'd like to turn your attention to 1 Peter chapter 1. And we'll read a couple of verses here to begin with. Verse 18, 1 Peter chapter 1. For as much as some of you know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but from your vain conversation received by tradition of the fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And so we have there are two things here, and we'll be looking at a number of things that in connection with the precious blood there in verse 19. And I've taken the first word, the first letter of the first word, in being the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 23, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Verse 25 says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which is spoken unto you. So we're thankful that we have the word of God. So there are, as you notice, the word precious, P-R-E-C-I-O-U-S. The first word is precious, and the second word that we'll look at is with the word redeemed, third word, E for essential or if except, and then also in clearness, cleanness, and innocent, and overcoming, and united, and sanctified. Well, look at all those verses. I've been working 3 hours. I prepared a message for three hour message. It won't last that long. It'll just seem that long. So I'd like to turn now to ask you a question, and that is, what is precious about the Lord? What is precious to you? What is the most precious thing that you can think of? Well, I think it's the virgin birth. We're coming to the virgin birth, celebration of the virgin birth with Christmas. So in Luke chapter 1, beginning of verse 26, we read that in the sixth month of the month, the angel Gabriel sent from God unto a city in Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. His spousal was sort of like being engaged. And so the parents of the bride and the groom, they picked the person that they were to marry. And so it's called the espousal. To a virgin espoused to the man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name is Mary, and the angel came to her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored of the Lord with thee. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among men and among women." And then verse 29, when she saw him, she was troubled in her saying, and cast her mind that manner of salutation it should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign forever. Reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of the kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And then he gives the definition of the virgin birth in verse 35. It says that the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Then notice verse 37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Then she went to see Elizabeth, and they had time together, and then notice her words in 46 and 47. It says that Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." That's giving praise to God. And so she was praising the Lord. And then verse 47, "The Spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior." So we note then the wonderful truth of the virgin birth. The second word is the word redeemed in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18 that we read earlier. "Forasmuch as ye know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but from your vain conversation received by tradition of men." And so, with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And so we have been redeemed, 1 Peter 1:18. Jesus paid the price for our sin on the cross. And so we have our sins forgiven if we come to him. The next word is to accept. You come to him and be saved. And that's what the Lord wants all of us to do. So Jesus paid the price for our sins on the cross, shedding his precious blood. And in Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption, or the redeeming, through the redemption that is with Christ Jesus. So redemption, Jesus paid the price for our sins. It was his blood on the cross. It was the most cruel way that a person could ever die. Some lived as long as a week or even longer there hanging on the cross. And a lot of them, because of the beating and all they went through before, didn't even make it to the cross. They died being beaten to death. The third thing is it's essential. And so it says there in Luke 13:3-5, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He says same thing again in verse 5, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So without the shedding of blood, he tells us in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood is no remission, no forgiveness except for the blood of Jesus Christ. In Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given whereby we must be saved. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the next word is cleanliness, and that's in 1 John 1:7. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, from all sin. So the Lord's blood is very, very precious, and he takes care of our sin. Then, as we think about a cleansing, you're completely washed or cleansed. You are made clean. And, a lot of times you sin, and then when you sin, you feel guilty. I'm reminded of a story about a second grade kid that his mother was having a birthday in the next week. And so he decided that he would get her a present, and he decided that it would be a cookie jar. And so we went down to Walmart, and he found a shelf that had all of the cookies there, cookie jars, and he began to look at them. He took them out one by one, looked at them, tried them, and see what they if they made any noise or not. And so he sat down on the floor, and he got every single one. He had all these jars around him. And one of the clerks came, and I think it was Jacob Crandall. He works there. And so Jacob said, can I help you, young fella? He said, mister, do you have any cookie jars with silent lids? No, sir, Jacob said, we don't have. If we do get any in, they go out right away. Everybody wants a silent lid on their cookie jar. Otherwise, they'll know that you're stealing cookies and you shouldn't be. And so, I know you wouldn't be doing that, but we'll just say the kids would do it. And then the next thing is innocence. And we see there in John chapter 6 and verse 70 that God, there was 12 that he chose 12 for his disciples. And then he says in that verse 70 of John 6 that Judas was a devil. That's what the Bible says. Now, I don't know why he chose a devil, but I could probably guess that there, you know, it's easy to profess you're a Christian. And it's easy to say, oh, yes, I my folks were Christians. I've always been a Christian, this, that, and the other. But never having accepted the Lord. And so we need to always remind people they need the Lord. They need to be saved and need the precious blood of Jesus Christ to wash their sins away. And so he says that he chose 12. One was a devil. And then we notice that in Matthew chapter 24, Matthew 27, verse 4, it says that that God chose a devil, and then Judas Iscariot went to the priest, and when he realized that Jesus was taken captive, he went to the priest and told him, I have sinned. I have betrayed innocent blood. And what did the priest say? He said, what is that to us? They didn't care anything about it. They just wanted to get rid of Jesus because of the fact that he was a telling them their need of a Savior. And then in 2 Corinthians 5:2, he has made him who, talking about Christ, he was completely perfect. It says, he who was made, who he made him sin, a sinner for us. Christ was made a sin of sin for us. You know, he put all of the sins of the body of every single person that ever was born. Because when Adam sinned, wherefore has been one man sin, in it, that Adam sinned, when he sinned, the whole world, as a result, everyone's blood is not pure, and they need to be cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he made him sin for us on the cross, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And then in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10 and 11, and these are really two wonderful verses that I'd like to read for you, and because they fit right into our life today. Revelation chapter 12, if I can find it, because I want to read it for you. Okay, I heard a voice from heaven saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accuses them before God day and night. So you as a Christian then, you are being accused by the devil of sin. He says, looky there what Cliff did. He thinks he's such a good Christian, and look what he did, and so on. He's doing that day and night. He does that. And so then in verse 11, but they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And you will probably notice in your Bible there that Lamb is capitalized L-A-M-B. And by the word of their testimony, they loved not their lives until the death. And so we need to pray and ask the Lord forgiveness. And when we do, the Lord forgives us. As you know, pastored a church in Excelsior for a number of years, and did a lot of work on, well, this was a small church, and but anyway, I did a lot of calling on my lunch hour, and so on, got a haircut on my lunch hour, because this fellow would just take a time, set a time for each person to come and get his haircut. So I went to him, and he was not very well, but he was an awful nice Christian man. He found out that I was a Christian, and he was a Christian, and he was having a time with his health and a few problems because of it. He was an awful nice fellow, and the devil was giving him a rough time, telling him how bad he was and so on. And so he said, "I just told the devil to get out of my life." And then he said, "Brother Cliff, is that okay to do that?" I said, "Absolutely. That's what you need to do, because Satan is all the time, continually, night and day, day and night, accusing you of things that you let slip or just making up things possibly at times. And so we need to rebuke the devil by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you as a Christian, you're living a Christian life. Your life is a testimony for the Lord. And so you have to rebuke the devil and don't let these things become overwhelming in your life. And then the next word it begins with you. And I could not find anything in the Bible dictionary about a word about the blood of Jesus Christ. It started with you. And so I put united, so I'd get a word for united, for you. And John 1:12 tells us, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And so putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are victorious in your Christian life as you live for him. You're in a family of God. It's all done by faith, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. And the word confess in the original language means to agree with God that you are a sinner and confess it. Confess your sins. He will forgive you. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth man speaks unto salvation. And then in verse 13, it says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Then we see the S stands for sanctified. Hebrews 10:10 says that we are sanctified by the offering of the blood of Jesus Christ once for all, once for all. The Old Testament had to bring their sacrifice. They had morning and evening sacrifice. They had all kinds of sacrifices they had to do. Then Jesus came and gave his life on the cross once for everybody, for everybody could come and be saved. And so when you came to Christ, got saved, put your faith in him, asking him to forgive your sins, then you became a Christian. You were saved. You were sanctified. Then the second step is all of your Christian life. We need to serve the Lord. And see, he tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we are growing and serving the Lord as we go about our daily life. And then the third thing is the most wonderful thing in 1 John 3:2. It says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for he shall save his people from their sins, and we'll be with him. We shall see him face to face." And that's glorification. It takes place when the Lord comes back. He's coming back someday. And I trust that you know him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the word of God. Thank you that you preserved your word for us. Thank you for these simple truths from your word, and they sink deep into our heart and our life. Pray that you would bless each one here, bless their families, their loved ones. Pray that you would help us to overcome the devil, because he's all the time trying to cause us to do things that are not right. So we thank you, Lord, for the great God that you are. And we thank you for the fact of glorification. We're going to have a body like the Lord Jesus Christ. We won't sin anymore. We won't be sick or discouraged or anything. It'll all be for the Lord Jesus Christ in glory in heaven. So we pray that you would bless the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Brother Cliff was mentioning how the devil likes to day and night accuse us, and it kind of popped in my head. I thought, you know, a lot of people talk about God as if he's the devil. They talk about this big old oaf upstairs about to whop me over the head with a baseball bat the second I mess up. And instead, it's the devil that's doing that. He's waiting up there. And the second he's like, oh, did you see Caleb? Did you see what he just did? And he's like, yeah, but that's covered under the blood. I did see that. That's completely covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, but look, he really doesn't love you because he acted like this. And like Cliff said, some of them are slip-ups. Some of them are true. He's also a liar, so he could be saying lies too. But I think there's probably enough in my life. He's probably telling the truth on a lot of them. I just think it was, I don't know, I had never really thought about that, that we walk around sometimes acting like our great God is acting like the devil, and he's not. He's a loving, gracious God, and that should motivate us to not abuse that grace, but to want to strive to grow like Brother Cliff talked about, growing in grace there. We're going to sing Nothing But the Blood. Let's stand together. We'll sing verses 1 and 4.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Verse 4. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Thank you for coming, and can I be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas? We'll see you back here next week or Wednesday. If you'd like to join us for Freedom That Lasts, you're more than welcome. You can come this Wednesday. You're dismissed.